Hey y'all, welcome to another episode of Jesse's Fireside Chats. In this episode, I'm going to be briefly giving you my thoughts on the idea of putting microchips in people's brains. So, let's get started. On the surface, this sounds like a good idea. You know, if you hear about people who were paralyzed, still are, but can now use this to communicate with the world using a brain-to-computer interface that the chip enables, or if you hear about somebody who is blind using this to see, or someone who's deaf using it to hear. I haven't heard that one as much, but that it's not out of the realm of possibility, especially if we're not limiting ourselves to what's available now, but to what is proposed that this could do in the future. You hear about people that have a cognitive condition that prevents them from talking or physically have something missing, like maybe their tongue is not properly is missing or is only partially there and it interferes with their ability to speak, or people who may not have functioning vocal cords or may not have vocal cords at all. I don't know if that's even a thing, but considering how many things can go wrong with the human body, it's not out of the realm of possibility that someone can be born without vocal cords or with ones that don't function because the nerves are not properly linked up. I mean, people are born without eyes. People are born without arms, legs. I think even the eyes thing is pretty rare, but I think even rarer than that, people can be born without teeth, without tongues, people can be born with one lung. There are so many things that could go wrong. It is not out of the realm of possibility that someone could be born without vocal cords or with ones that are not linked up to the proper nerves and therefore can't function. I mean, I know people who have eyes that could work just fine, except they don't have optic nerves at all, or the ones they have just are simply too small or not shaped in the right way to be able to function and connect to the brain. It's the same thing can happen with the ears. The nerves that link the ears to the brain might not be there or might not work for some reason or might be misshapen or too small. So there's a lot of things that can go wrong, and even people that were born without any disability can develop a wide array of degenerative conditions affecting different parts of the body. And people can get in accidents. There are so many ways people can have a disability that this invention is touted as being able to, if not correct, at least mask under AI by allowing the person to at least supposedly see and hear and communicate. The communication thing, I guess, is not supposed. It's just the question of, are they actually seeing, or is it just the machine doing it for them? If the machine's doing it for them, is it really them seeing? I know that's getting kind of philosophical, but, like, it is worth considering. And that's where this thing starts to not sound as good when you really consider it. So first of all, you have to consider that a microchip, even if it's super small, because that's what micro means, it means super small, a microchip is still a foreign object. You're still putting a foreign object into somebody's body, and of all places in the body, you're putting it in the brain. And the brain, everybody should know this unless you live under a rock, but the brain is the most vital part of the body. If you are in a severe life or death situation, if you're starving to death, if you're bleeding out, or you're in some other emergency, your body will sacrifice your extremities to keep your heart and your brain alive. That's just sad. It's just basic science. And so you're injecting this thing into somebody's brain. It's a foreign object. And any foreign object that ends up in the body runs a risk of causing an infection. Another thing we should all know. anyone who has accidentally stuck something up their nose, or has accidentally swallowed something they shouldn't, or has a kid who has done the same thing, should know this. I know people who accidentally ate rat poison as a kid, and they had to go to the ER. And it's this kind of the same risk here, although you could argue the risk might be greater because you're putting it in your brain rather than, you know, in your mouth or up your nose. So it doesn't have to travel to the brain or get in a blood clot that ends up in the brain. Like, it's already going to the brain. And so even people who get organ transplants, there are some times where the organ transplant gets rejected. You hear about people that get kidney transplants and the transplant is rejected by the body. We don't always know exactly why, although they've developed ways of matching people to the right organ to try to minimize that risk. I don't know all the sciencey stuff behind that. I'm not a doctor or other medical professional, obviously, but like, I know that that's a thing. And even people that get a transplant, they sometimes have to take a bunch of medicine to help prevent their body from rejecting it. I know someone who had to have a kidney transplant. It's a very scary time. And so if you put a microchip in somebody's body, there's the risk it will be rejected by the body, and that will cause a whole world of hurt. And then the next thing to consider is computers can be very easily hacked. We have developed security improvements that minimize that to some extent. You have antivirus, two-factor authentication, you have suggestions like changing your passwords every however long. There are ways to try to minimize your risk of being hacked, but we still know that data breaches happen, cyber attacks, unintentional glitches. Every time there's a new update, there's a risk of bugs. Sometimes an update will be released, and then there'll have to be subsequent updates to fix bugs that occurred in the original update for some or all devices that receive the update. So, you know, computers can be hacked, and anytime there's a new technology, it is very buggy, it is very prone to glitches and intentional misuse. And so this microchip stuff is new technology, just like the headsets, and that's one of the more minor concerns I have about the headsets, although headsets will be a different episode, because today we're talking about microchips. But, like, that's one of the concerns that you have with these, is it's new technology, so it's very prone to misuse and very prone to glitching. And going off of that intentional misuse, one of my biggest fears when it comes to these microchip things is that the government could intentionally hack into them and mess with them. The government could either use them to spy on you, or the government could decide, especially if we end up, heaven forbid, with a totalitarian regime, or if countries that already have one end up with a totalitarian regime, or another country around the world gets these things and then ends up with a totalitarian regime, whatever it may be, that regime could decide, okay, here's how we deal with political dissidents. Instead of gulagging them, or sending them out of the country, or killing them, or making them go to this camp or anything else, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get into their brain chips. We're going to make everybody get these chips. And then we're going to go in and hack into their thoughts and reprogram them to think what we want them to think. We're going to make them not be dissidents anymore by purposely rewiring their thoughts. And I've heard some people, when I raise that claim, they say, oh, well, that's only if the chip is able to control their thoughts. I mean, true, but even if the chip was put in to, say, help a deaf person hear, the government has access to technology none of us has access to, and some of it's classified. We don't even know what all they're capable of. So, especially with our over-classification problem that's extremely rampant. So, for all we know, the government may already have the technology to hack into people's thoughts with these brain chips. The government may have known about this brain chip technology before any of us did. And even if they knew about it at the same time that the rest of us did, they've probably already figured out a way to reconfigure people's thoughts. And if not our government, then totalitarian governments like North Korea or China probably figured this out, or Russia. And so it's only a matter of time before a government like America's or European governments would figure this out. 'Cause ideas tend to flow across seas very rapidly in our information age. So I don't think the chances are too low that if everybody adopted this microchip thing, or even if a large segment of the population did, that the government could decide, okay, we're going to use this to monitor people, and then that technology could either get in the wrong hands, or, you know, people could be made to get these things, and then it might not be the wrong hands, because it may be that a regime makes people get these chips and then decides, without telling people, that they're going to use the chips to spy on them and to rewire the thoughts of dissidents. And then another concern is that it might not even be the government doing it. Some hacker might figure out how to use ransomware on people's thoughts and memories. Ransomware, for those that may be unfamiliar, is a virus that ends up on your computer, and it requires you to pay a certain amount. It's usually an exorbitant amount to get access to your files. Otherwise, I don't know if they can be corrupted or just deleted. I don't know all the details of it, because I'm not an expert on computer science, but I do know that, you know, the basic gist of ransomware is, well, it's holding your files for ransom. And, like, that's in the name. And so, another concern that we could have pop up with these brain microchips is that it might not even be the government tampering with your thoughts and your memories. It may be some random hacker could figure out, or some organization, some gang or terrorist organization, or I don't know, some group of troublemakers even, that's not actually a gang, but they're causing trouble. They could figure out how to hack into your thoughts and your memories. Or like a group working for a foreign government, like North Korea, could figure out how to hack into your thoughts and your memories. And who knows what they could do with them. They could scramble them up. They could delete them. They could make you pay $10 million to get them back. They could, you know, and if the chip is supposed to help you see or hear or communicate, well, that's the other thing, is a hacker or a government or anybody could just turn it off. They could stop it from doing the thing that it's supposed to do. They could tell it to stop giving you the sight or the hearing or whatever it's supposed to give you, or they could shut off the computer for a certain period of time or indefinitely, or they could kill switch it so it would never come back on. And once that thing goes in, It's already a surgery to put it in. It's going to be a nightmare to get it back out, either to replace it or just to get it out for good. And that's the other problem. Another problem with it is the whole idea of, like, what if it needs to be serviced? You know, it's already a surgery to put it in. If it needs to be serviced or replaced, even if not because of hacking, even if it just breaks down, wears out, that's going to be a nightmare. Getting your car serviced is already an event, and that's a car. Imagine it being something in your head. That's not going to be fun. And then the last things with this brain chip thing is, the last two things are moral concerns. There may even be three, if I can decide if two are connected or if they're all separate. But I do know, first concern is that with the internet age, our brains are really the last place where we have complete privacy. I mean, yes, you can write stuff down on paper. You can do that. You can move off the grid somewhere. But if you have a phone or another device, it is tracking you. I'm not sure if it's listening to you, because I can't tell you how many times I've heard an ad on YouTube and said, I don't care, and I still get the same stupid ads. But it at least knows your location. And governments have used that to track criminals, and they haven't used it for anything, like, terribly messed up yet here. Although in China they have, like, cameras everywhere, and they use that to enforce a system that gives people social credit scores that, if your score is too low, it bars you from doing a lot of normal everyday things or makes life extremely hard for you. I talked about that in a previous episode. And there is always a concern that they could try that here. And so our brains are really the last place that can't be tapped into, that is not constantly stimulated with information. If we do, say, put the phone down or whatever, you know, if we want to unplug, but also the last place where, you know, nobody can read your thoughts, nobody can watch what goes on in there. Nobody can comment, like, oh my gosh, you're thinking about potatoes again or whatever. Like, unless you say you are, nobody can comment on that. And the government can't access what's going on in there. And so if everybody or even a large group of people get these chips in their brains, well, that's going to mean there's no place in this life that is truly private anymore. And that should concern everybody. Especially considering how power hungry a lot of humans are, which is one reason why totalitarian governments have been so common throughout history. And then the other thing is that it's very much a question of whether it's biblically right for somebody to do this, whether God would approve of people putting these little things in their brains. Like, is that sinful? I'm not sure if there's a full fleshed out answer to that. And I think people should, come to one, at least, if not a conclusion, if not a definitive answer, at least a pretty good hunch, prayerful hunch, you know, based on what God is saying and whatnot, before jumping into this with both feet. And the problem is, too many people don't put God first, so you have a lot of people that they don't care if biblical principles would be violated by doing it. They do it anyway, and that's very sad. And I mean, God's very clear on a lot of things, but also the Bible does not include every issue that has ever come up and will ever come up, because if it did, it would weigh about the size of 13 elephants, most likely, if not more, because God is all-knowing. And so that's the other concern with this, is that I'm not sure if it's biblically right to put a microchip in your brain, and I think people should ask God if that is okay before they jump into this with both feet. Because if God's not okay with it, then we shouldn't be either. Even if we're physically capable of doing something. There are a lot of things we're physically capable of doing that God would not be okay with. You're physically capable of running someone over with your car, but God wouldn't be okay with you doing that. Which is one of many reasons you shouldn't. And so those are basically my thoughts on the whole microchip thing. It sounds good at first, but when you really consider it, it's not a good idea. It has way more cons than pros, and we definitely should not jump into this with both feet. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. You can find this podcast on Spotify, Amazon Music, the RSS feed, Audible, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and Pandora. You can also contact us on our Facebook page, Jesse's Fireside Chats, and on X at JFSCPod. You can also send us an email if you'd like at Jesse's Fireside Chats. That's JESSEAS Firesidechats @gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening. Please pass this along to anybody you know that might be interested, and come back next time. Have a blessed day.